podcast, The Neil Haley Show, and The Love Is Podcast. I'm excited to welcome the host of The Love Is Podcast, Kim Sorrell. Kim, how are you? I know you're excited about our guest.
I am doing great. Thank you, Neil. And I am excited. Bob Keith, you are a one-of-a-kind, renaissance kind of a guy. You were a journalist. And so I would think that that set of talents helps you with some of the stuff that you do now. But the push that you have to change our world, change our country, make our country leading in environmental awareness, and companies coming out and saying, I want to be clean. I love what you do. And you just came out with this new book that is so fantastic. And I can't wait to talk to you. And Arnold Schwarzenegger wrote your introduction. How did that come about?
Well, first of all, I'm flattered. Thank you for those kind words. And look, I think everybody cares about our planet, right? And everybody wants cleaner energy, and everybody wants a better future for our kids. I'm grateful and fortunate for the fact to be able to do that for a living as the executive director of E2, which is a national organization of more than 10,000 business leaders who advocate for policies that are good for our economy and good for our environment. And, you know, I don't know. I don't have many skills. I've certainly never been a wrestler, and I don't understand TikTok. But as through my training and time as a journalist, if I have any skill, it's stringing a few words together every now and then, which is what we did with the book Clean Economy Now, Stories from the Front Lines of an American Business Revolution, which, by the way, we really are at the advent of a economic revolution here. But to get to your question about Governor Schwarzenegger, you know, Governor Schwarzenegger was the most effective climate leader at a government level this country has had in a very long time when he was governor of California. There's a reason why California is leading in clean energy deployment, in clean vehicles deployment, in clean energy jobs right now. It's because of the policies that Governor Schwarzenegger and after him, Governor Brown and Governor Newsom and others helped pass at the state level. But really, my organization, E2, has been around for 25 years, and we worked alongside Governor Schwarzenegger back in the day, bringing our business people, our business voices to bear and passing those policies. But why I really wanted him to write that forward, and I'm so grateful that he did, is because, of course, Governor Schwarzenegger is a Republican. And the point is, these policies, clean energy, climate action, should not be a partisan issue. This isn't about red state jobs or blue state jobs. These are red, white, and blue jobs. It's nonsensical to make these things a political or a partisan issue, I believe, when so much is at stake.
Absolutely. And I already see you do your homework. I went and told your publicist I'm live, and you just checked out a few of my lives. Go figure. And there's a lot of other ways to check out me, but I love that people could just say, oh, this is what he's going to do. But when I look at, you know, specifically what you're doing, I think it's fantastic, because ultimately, if an economy can increase, because I've been watching a lot of Billions, it's no longer a show anymore, but it talked about, you know, hedge funds and how they're looking at specific companies and how they grow and all these different things. The newer things, the new age things are going to help change, and it's going to be a big part of the economy. It's good for anyone to read this book that's looking at investing in companies, looking to make money in the market, looking at to see where the trends are going to go, because ultimately, at the end of the day, you might jump on something that's really great. You might want to market for one of these companies. You might want to buy their products because they're going this route. All those things.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And look, when I say that this is an American economic revolution, I don't say that lightly. You know, I, as a journalist, again, I spent more than 20 years as a journalist, and I covered the rise of the internet and the fall of the internet for a little bit with the dot-com boom and bust. I covered the real estate industry in Florida during its headiest times. And I spent a lot of time in Silicon Valley watching technology come, grow, and continue to evolve. But what we're seeing now in terms of the clean energy economy, the clean economy in America, is like nothing I don't think any of us have seen. And let me tell you why. my organization, E2 Tracks, has been tracking clean energy projects around the country since the passage of the Inflation Reduction Act 20 months ago by Congress. And what we know is that there are now more than 300 major clean energy projects in the works all around the country. We're talking about EV factories. We're talking about battery factories. We're talking about solar panel factories. More than $120 billion worth of private sector investment, Neil and Kim, coming into this country. This isn't government grants or loans. This is private industries investing in these companies. When is the last time we've had 300 factories, et cetera, coming out of the ground in America? It's a revolution.
It is.
And it's all in service of making the planet a little bit better. These were climate policies that made this happen. And they're also obviously economic policies.
Yeah, which is so fantastic. And it's so interesting to watch and to see. So your organization has been around for quite a while. What is the difference between when you started and the country as it is today?
Well, when we look, we got our start, E2 got its start in California, working on what then were the first ever car emissions, greenhouse gas emissions standards for automobiles, the California Clean Car Standards, which if you don't know it, in order to sell cars in California, they got to be a little cleaner than they do in other parts of the country. And when we got our start 25 years ago, of course, you had the auto industry, you had the petroleum industry coming to Sacramento saying, hey, you crazy Californian hippies, you passed this policy and it's going to ruin our businesses. We're going to have to lay people off. It's going to be the end of our economy. California is going to explode and float off in the Pacific and we're all going to go to hell in a handbasket. Well, our founders at E2 were Silicon Valley folks, and they stood up and they said, you know what? We don't know that much about automaking. We don't know too much about petroleum. What we do know about is innovation. Right. And with the right government signals through policy, again, this was 25 years ago, with the right policies, maybe those Prius thingies, those hybrid vehicles that we're just starting to see, maybe they'll become more common. And who knows, maybe even someday electric vehicles. And by the way, it's not a bad idea to clean up the air and clean up the water in the fifth biggest economy in the world, which is the state of California. So since then, to answer your question, there's been we were one of the first organizations to bring a positive message about the benefits of environmental action for the economy. Since then, we see it playing out all over the country. These jobs, these projects that I've been talking about, they're not in California. They're in Georgia. They're in Tennessee. They're in North Carolina. Georgia has more clean energy projects coming out of the ground than any other state in the country. Who would have thought that?
Yeah. And it's because it works.
That's right.
It's happening. So talk about the sectors that are really big following what the new green energy jobs, what areas, what's their sectors?
Well, certainly, you know, solar and wind, which everybody thinks about when they think of clean energy, that's still leading the way. If you look at what utilities are planning for the year ahead, something like 90% of all of the power that they expect to deploy, new deployments of energy sources, et cetera, are wind and solar and batteries and geothermal. So 90% of all of the new power that's being built this year is expected to be clean, renewable energy. So there's that. The other thing that I'd mention is around batteries. You know, batteries have long been the holy grail of clean energy. Everybody talks about, oh, yeah, solar's good, but what happens when the sun goes down? What happens when the wind's not blowing? Well, the technology in batteries has advanced so quickly and the pricing of batteries has come down so dramatically that there's not a solar or wind developer that's not building projects with batteries right now. And of course, those batteries are also key to powering electric vehicles. So that's really one of the biggest spaces there are.
Wow.
Wow. Yeah, it's amazing. And, you know, Neil touched on it a bit, but I think it is important to be aware of who's doing what, and to know what you want to buy, who you want to buy from, who you want to support. And I love that you're saying it's not a partisan issue, which is so true, because we're all here. We all live here. We've got kids, grandkids, you know, generations to come. Yeah. And we want to leave it better than we found it. And so what are some things you think that people proactively should be doing?
Well, they should be talking to their lawmakers, and they should be telling their lawmakers that, look, we are finally in America getting on a path toward a cleaner environment. We're finally recognizing climate change and the problems that come with it. And we can't get off of this path. We can't get off of it for a lot of reasons. We can't get off of it for the economic reasons that we've discussed and the jobs that are being created. We can't get off of it because of the climate issues that we're facing. But let's also talk about the global marketplace and things like national security. We were talking about batteries a minute ago. China and other countries now control about 90% of the battery business in the world. So if you buy a battery someplace in the world, the likelihood is that it comes from China. Quite similarly, solar panels. China controls about 80% of the solar panel industry right now. By the way, these are innovations that America invented, right? So China and other countries are on the path to become the Saudi Arabia of a cleaner global economy. The good news, right now we have about 40 battery factories coming out of the ground in America for the first time ever. We've got something like 20 or 30 solar panel factories coming out of the ground in America, creating jobs again in places like Georgia and Arizona and Louisiana and Alabama and Colorado, New York. All of these places have companies that are investing in solar panel factories right now because of these policies, because of the tax advantages that come with the Inflation Reduction Act and other policies that are making this possible. Why would we want to go backward on that?
Okay. With the growth again in clean energy, what does it mean to fossil fuels and its industry workers?
What it means is that fossil fuel companies are energy companies, right? We're talking about energy. We're talking about the next transition in energy. And just like the transition from AM radio to the podcast that we're on right now, you know, industries change. Who better to lead that than the energy industry that is at the fundamentals of powering our economy? They ought to be doing more. Unfortunately, a lot of fossil fuel companies are spending more money on marketing, saying that they're doing good things, and less money on actually doing good things. As the market dynamics continue to change, as those shareholders of those companies start to realize, wow, wait a minute, we're going the way of the buggy whip or the
right.
or my industry, the newspaper industry, we need to start thinking of something else. I think you'll start to hopefully see more change there.
All right. So let's go with the question that Kim asks, always a love question. Go ahead, Kim, which you didn't expect, but I think you have been listening to things and as a journalist. Go ahead, Kim.
Oh, so Bob, I dedicated a year to figuring out the true meaning of love, and the things that I found out just blew my mind. And I think love is misunderstood and misused, but love is everywhere and with everything. And so I'm curious, where does love play a role in what you do and in your life in general?
Well, first of all, I hope my wife is listening into this, because at one time she had a foundation called the Live Love Foundation. And her mission, if you will, was basically to ask folks what is love and how do you weave that into your daily life. I think in this case, in this frame, love is love of your planet. Love is love of your children. We're coming, Monday is Earth Day, right? So it's that one time of the year during our annual trip around the sun where we take just a little bit of time to think about the planet and the environment. This Earth Day, I would say, is different because we also ought to be thinking about our economy for all the reasons that we said, because this is happening because of smart environmental and climate action. But that smart climate and environmental action is driven by love for our planet, for our children who are going to inherit this mess, and for the love of the life that we have every day.
Absolutely. Bob, okay, best place people can find information on you, Bob. Where can they go?
You can go to e2.org. To find out information about me and my organization, about the book. You can go to cleaneconomynow, bobkeith.com and find out all about that.
All right. Thanks again, Bob. Appreciate it. That was a special simulcast of the Neil Haley Show and the Love Is Podcast, guys. Take care.